What a podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hey, everybody. Did you miss this intro?
It was 5-6-25.
We forgot 5-6-25 to do these intros last week. But
we did. We did.
Today.
Forget. We just wanted to see if people noticed.
Yeah, were you paying attention?
Yep.
Now we've used up all of our time.
You know, wombagate.
We fumigate the womb and talk about a potato famine.
Yeah. Hey, that's what I had written down.
Oh, damn it. I stole your shit.
That's fine.
Okay. Have wombagate. Fun. It's Monday. Wombagate.
Hey, what is up? It is the Terry and Gad Tagcast.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yep. I am Gatch.
And I'm Terry and.
And it's episode 625.
Boy, we just stumbled upon an epiphany today that we're not even going to tell you about until you realize what the fuck is going on.
Yep.
It's Monday. Welcome to it. The sun is shining in my eyes, and I don't even mind because I miss that thing.
Mm-hmm.
The orb.
Yeah. We can close the door.
No. I'm digging
right
it, actually.
Here. Okay. I like the sun coming
it's
in.
It's filtered through the trees, so it's pretty fucking sweet.
Those trees with the nice orange, yellowish leaves.
Yep. So welcome to Monday, and this is one of the first songs that I've ever really played twice. I try to do a different song every episode, so I've played like 200 and some different songs. This is a repeat because, did you hear that high scream at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
This is 30 Pound Test. They had their CD came out on, officially Friday at the show, but I love this song so much. When they started it, place was packed. I jumped up on the stage and put my arm around Jason Rowe's neck and did the wah with him. Mm-hmm. And then I did a stage dive at Sub-Zero. I did a stage dive and took out like three teenage chicks, not on a date. I took them
out. I haven't seen a stage dive in a long time.
Everyone was talking about it. It was the talk of the night. It wasn't a super high arc of a stage dive, mm-hmm. but that stage is about 3-4 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And I just jumped, and people didn't know what the fuck was going on, so they didn't really get out of my way. And so I took these three chicks out, and then I kind of had to do this weird forward bear crawl, or as I called it that night, a spider crawl, mm-hmm. until I could get clear of the crowd and then stood up. But I thought they would be pissed because I kind of knocked them down, but by the time mm-hmm. I wormed my way back around front, they were just all metal and had their horns up and banging their head. But there was at least 150 people there. It was a great turnout. It was the last night of Sub-Zero. They're closed now, so I'm wondering who's going to buy that bar because it's a great venue.
Yeah, but any venue that goes in there never really does well.
I know. I wonder why.
I think it's just the town, probably.
Because those guys really catered to the college kids with the college party nights and the dancing mm-hmm. and the girls' bikini parties or whatever they had, you know, but
maybe the college kids there just don't have money to spend.
Maybe not. So they're moving to Portland. Apparently Portland must have had a venue that they bought that they're going to still be Sub-Zero. So
yeah,
they must have been doing well enough to not cheap to move your business.
No.
But apparently maybe they... I don't know. Here's a weird thing that I'm going to tell a story. And I hope that anyone who's listening who knows what happened doesn't care. But I don't. I was offended by it myself. So we're at the gig.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's taking forever to do sound right. Mm-hmm. I thought he was pretty cool because he had a death shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
That gave him your pretty cool points to me.
Mm-hmm.
But he was kind of, I don't know, he was kind of being a dick to people. And then he was taking forever. And then they wanted to do a sound check. It was 8 o'clock. We had an hour. He was, like, having problems. And then they go, look, I guess we're not going to get to do a sound check. 30-pound test said, so we're going to go get some pizza down the street. If you guys can do a sound check before your set, that would be good enough, you know. Time's going by. I talked to him outside later, to Zach, and he's like, God, that guy's taking forever. And I go, well, at least you know he does a good job. And because I thought he'd worked with him before. And he goes, oh, no, I hope he does a good job. He's like, he's the house sound guy here, and it's all of his equipment. he wanted $500 to do sound for them.
What?
At the bar that they're playing at. What bar charges a band anything to do sound, let alone $500? So they said, dude, we can't pay $500. We're charging $5 to the door, and if 100 people come, which is not guaranteed and not the norm for today, mm-hmm. because people can't afford to go out, especially if it's not a free show, because we wouldn't even be able to pay anybody anything. And so he said, well, he said, what's a podcast? Mm-hmm. He said, well, okay. They go, we got our own PA, because they have a okay PA that they mm-hmm. use out there jamming. We'll bring our own PA. And he said, okay, well, if you bring your own PA, you can't use any of our stuff. No monitors, no, none of the house speakers and none of that stuff. And you can't use any lights. And so somehow they talked him down to only charging them only $200.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, is that outrageous? $200 for a sound guy at your show at the bar that he already works at?
I don't think that's an outrageous price for a sound guy, but I don't think that's the right place to be charging somebody.
Right. If they hired you outright to come to a separate venue, maybe I could understand. Mm-hmm. That should be
the bar's liability if he's charging $200 a night, if the bar's bringing him in.
And I don't think that the bar paid the band at all, because they only got what they brought into the door. But luckily, there was a ton ass of people, so mm-hmm. everybody got paid, and the guy got his $200. And they were just keeping their fingers crossed, because early in the night at like 9, when people started trickling in, there wasn't 100 people, and they were like going, fuck, it's early, people will come. And they did, eventually. You know, it was a great turnout. I saw a lot of people that I haven't seen for a long time. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I talked to Jason Schmidt, who lives over in Bend, and I never knew that he was such a huge Deftones fan, but apparently he really loves the Deftones a lot. It's one of his all-time favorite bands. Their singer is his favorite. Chino Marino, which is funny to say because it rhymes. He's the singer. He lives in Bend now.
Right, oh, really?
Right down the street from Jason, and he's fucking freaked out about it. His friend saw him in the store. He was like 3 people back from this, and he had already recognized him because he loves the Deftones. I don't know who his friend was, but his friend loves the Deftones too. And the cashier said, aren't you the singer from the Deftones? And he's like, yeah, I am. And she's like, if you don't mind me asking me, what are you doing in Bend? He's like, I actually just moved here. And he told her, like, where he lived. He's like, I got a house down here, blah, blah, blah.
People
got
to live somewhere.
I know. And so the guy's, like, totally, like, listening to all the information. And then he hears where he lives. And he's like, fuck, that's right down the street from Jason's house. Oh, my God. So Jason's like, I just hope that I don't run into him somewhere. If I do, I can keep my composure and not totally fanboy out. And I was like, that's cool. I go, if you do talk to him, tell him you guys play music. And if he wants to jam sometime, it can't hurt for, you know, trying. He might just say, pfft.
That guy's tone deaf, I heard, though.
He sings kind of bad in concert. And Jason was bragging about him. And they did this live thing, like Unplugged in Hawaii, like at 2003 or somewhere around there. Dude, it was not very good. And so I tried to approach the subject amicably and not hurt his feelings by ripping on his most favorite band.
Yep.
And I was like, did you see that Unplugged in Hawaii? And he's like, incredible, right? And I was like, yeah. And I didn't have the heart to say what I was going to say. And I never heard that fact that you just said that he's tone deaf. Doesn't surprise me. He sings weird. He's like a
hand. I just said that because he's in the Deftones.
Oh, it's not true?
I don't know. Well,
maybe that's why they call it that.
Yeah.
The singer's tone deaf, so let's just call it the Deftones. And his name rhymes with itself.
Does it? Yeah. Chino Marino?
Yep. Hmm. Wonder if he's related to Rita.
Or Dan Marino.
Do you know that chick Rashida Jones from The Office and Parks and Rec? Did you know that she's Quincy fucking Jones's daughter?
Really?
I did not know that.
That's a Quincy Dinky.
That is a Quincy Dink. That's a Quincy Jones daughter. That's a Quincy Jones's daughter. She has one other sister by the same mother. And
Orlando Jones?
No. I don't know who it is. She's not famous. Well, she's semi-famous, but I do not recognize her name. She's been in a few movies and I don't even know what else. But I was just surprised. I found that out because she was on Comedy Bang Bang.
Huh.
And you know how dumb Scott are. He's like, I was usually go to Wikipedia and get information and then ask questions based on that. And he goes, and there's some information on there that you need to clean up your page. It's obviously not true that people have been. It's said on there that you're Quincy Jones's daughter, which she is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was acting like that can't be true. And she was like, oh, gosh. I'll have to fix that. And he's like, and it said that you went to Harvard. And she's like, oh, I did. And he goes, you did? Well, then what is the square root of 8,432? And she's like, like 79.64326626. And he's like, you're right. You did go to Harvard. Good job. So goofy, dude. That show gets goofier and goofier every time I watch it. Who else was just
He probably wrote all that, though.
Oh, of course. I think him and Reggie do a lot of the writing. But I noticed they did have about 6 writers. I've been checking the writers' credits lately, just out of curiosity, to see how many writers are on the crew and who's responsible for this insane debauchery they call comedy these days.
Yeah, or even dramas. You know, if you go to Wikipedia and you look up, like, shows that have seasons worth, they'll have like different directors for every episode.
Yeah, they had a
Stephen King. He probably only did the first episode of The Dome.
Yeah, I think so. Spielberg had something to do with it there for a while. Executive producer. He probably just put his name.
I think
on
he played E.T. in there.
E.T. never got a face shot though. He was outside the dome, right?
He was.
Birthday Boys was hilarious. They were making fun of that movie that has Jack White and The Edge and Jimmy Page. Have you seen that yet?
No.
You heard about it, though, right?
No.
No?
Well, I think maybe.
There's a documentary.
It's a while ago, right?
Yeah. And it's just ridiculous to me that The Edge is even in there. Or, I mean, Jack White's got his, he's created his own cred or whatever. But Jimmy Page, a classic.
Yeah.
Undisputed. The Edge? Dude, they're jamming on there this one time. They're trading off solos. Jack White, noisy. Jimmy Page. Edge comes in. Like, oh, you can work a tremolo effect pedal pretty good there, buddy, on one note. What are you doing with those guys? So anyway, on Birthday Boys, they were making fun of it. It had Ben Stiller on there. And he played one guitar player, and a couple of the Birthday Boys played some other ones, and they were like, the real roots of this music, because they kind of got into this in the movie, is the old blues, you know, like old Lightning Hopkins. But they were making up, like, funny Green Bean Jones. And it's like fucking just goofy fucking old blues. And they'd play the song and it'd be like totally out of tune. Well, I'm a girl out there, yeah, because I'm on the porch and I'm singing a song. It's like, that's the shit that fucking inspired us to write what we do. And if it wasn't for bands like Slim Pickin' Jim's, just like all the, I can't even remember the names. Hilarious. I'm just, love that show. Birthday Boys. Love it. Love it.
You know what's coming back?
My pubes.
Really?
Yeah, I shaved my balls last night.
Bill Cosby is, I guess, working on developing a new sitcom.
He's twerking?
And also rebooting Fat Albert.
Isn't he 70 or something now? He's got to be old.
He's got to be at least. His chin's dropping.
Bruh.
I know that.
Yeah? Has he got one of those jowls?
No, he's got the long. He's had a long chin always, remember?
Yeah.
Just like Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Oh, I scooped up some dirt on something we were talking about last week, Kathy Griffin.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. You know, she's been banned from some shows.
I don't doubt it.
The View.
Ah, she's too edgy.
I guess, I don't know, she reportedly once made a joke, some jokes about Howard Stern having sex with Barbara Walters. I would assume this was probably on The View.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it might not be good for Howard Stern, but Barbara would probably get a kick out
of
it.
Yeah, and Ellen, she's banned from, and also Letterman and Leno. I guess she once did a strip tease for Letterman.
Oh, trying to be like Drew Barrymore?
Yeah, I don't know why she got cut from the other ones.
Probably backstage shenanigans.
I don't know. Well, is she anywhere else but the backstage always? That's what a D-lister does, right?
I guess. I don't know. She's on Howard Stern a lot, isn't she? or once in a while. Like, I mean, so she's probably friends with him. Speaking of Howard Stern, dude, what the fuck is up with Artie Lang's neck? Have you seen him lately? Dude, he has the fucking jowl the size of a goddamn airplane pillow put on backwards.
Well, he's not drinking anymore and stuff, right?
No, he's clean and sober. He's got a new book out. It's a tell-all about...
A tell-all?
Yeah, it's a tell-all novel. He was on the Tom Green Show the other night, and, dude, he's funny, but he, like, tried to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear that story. He tells all in the book how he was fucking ate a bunch of Percocets and drank a bunch of whiskey, and then he got super sick, and he threw up all over, and then he was like, he had just eaten the pills.
Uh-huh.
And this was his low point. He was digging through his puke, getting the undissolved pills, and then re-eating them. And he's like, they're like, why would you tell that story? Why would you even tell that story, let alone put it in your book? And he's like, because I just hope that someone would read that and not ever let them get to that point. He's like, he took a butcher knife and slipped both of his wrists and stabbed himself in the stomach 9 times. He's like, if I would have had abs, I'd be dead right now. He's like, but my fucking fat saved my life. He's like, I saved, stabbed myself 9 times and still didn't die. He's like, I'm just cutting the fat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was pretty funny. But his
need a longer knife.
Dude, his neck is just like bigger than this bag. Just like it's like strapped. He's got a regular kind of fat face with a little chin, and then there's at least like 12 inches of neck. It's just all billow. Like, it's weird looking, and his hair's all
gray. Maybe he needs a neck beard.
He needs something on there, dude. He needs a Santa beard, I think.
Yeah.
A Duck Dynasty beard. Yeah. So, yeah, as I told you before, I don't know if I told you this, but I told you I've been moving some stuff from our old house. Dude, I am so sore. My leg, my arms, my muscles, because we played that show on Friday, and it's downstairs, and they don't have no elevator, and we had to haul all of our gear up and down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to move a bunch of dressers. But the upside, moving all these dressers, I found like 40 T-shirts that I haven't had in over 2 years. I'm starting the one shirt a day trek to see if I can go like a half a year. Would that be 100?
Didn't you do that before, though?
I did, but it was when I didn't have all these shirts, I don't think. Maybe. I don't know. I just like to do it every once in a while.
You should blog them.
Every day I'll post on my Facebook or something, Twitter.
Get a Tumblr going.
Say, today I'm wearing Napalm Death, Nazi Pucks, Fuck Off. This is one of my favorite shirts. It looks brand new, practically.
Yep.
And just got it back today. Pretty stoked. So today, which is actually yesterday, the 10th of November, because today's the 11th. The 10th of November, I will start my quest on wearing one shirt a day till at least till the end of the year.
You know what they say, remember the 10th of November.
I do. What happened?
I don't know. You can say that for any November, because it just rhymes with remember.
Dismember, too.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to start as, Dismember November.
There you go.
Where every day you cut off someone's body part.
Oh, yeah.
Or a finger, or a tongue, or a tongue. Like you have more than one. I'm going to cut off one of your tongues. It's like we were talking about, I'll blow your brains out. How many have you got? Just one, right?
Yeah. You got unless one, you're Steve Martin.
I'm going to blow your brain out.
Steve Martin when he was funny.
Dude, I got to watch season 3 of Eastbound and Down.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever watch that?
No.
Dude, if you can find that, you start at season 1, you will laugh.
I watched part of season 1. I didn't laugh, really.
You didn't?
Nope.
Okay, maybe start at season 2, because it's kind of one of those shows that'll give you a quick recap, and it starts in a different area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, season 2's in Mexico. Season 3 is in Myrtle Beach. But Will Ferrell comes back in season 3. Jason Sudeikis is on there. A couple other big names that I can't remember. I was literally LOLing to myself.
You were lololing.
I was lolling to where I even posted some quotes from him that threw some people for a couple loops. Like, it was 1 a.m. and I posted, "This beautiful sunset is fucking rocking my balls off."
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Ziegler said, "Where does the sun set at 1 a.m.? Have you been taking acid again, Terry?" I was like, yeah, this is a hard pill to shove up my ass. Which was another quote from the same episode, because his friend was telling him, "I'm not going to work with you anymore because you degrade me." And he's like, "This is a hard fucking pill to shove up my ass right now, Steve. He's like, you're telling me you're not going to be faithful to me anymore like you were? And then I read up on it a little bit. He's basically, I guess, loosely based on John Rocker. Mm-hmm. Do you remember John Rocker?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a couple people that they're like, who? It's like he's a baseball player that was named Rocker. How can you not remember him? Apparently he was all flaunty and fucking ego and steroided out.
Oh, he's basically taken out of league for his racist rant.
This dude pushes the line sometimes where you're laughing your ass off like, this dude is fucking crazy. And then he'll do something that just made me go, you're a fucking awful person. That is a fucking terrible thing to do. This is supposed to be a comedy, dude. His best friend dies, cocaine overdose, because they're partying down, right? Turns out his best friend has a twin brother that comes to the thing, the funeral. They were dating these college chicks. So he talks his brother. He goes, you just got to come here. I need you to meet a friend who is a friend of your brother's. I want you to meet him. You need to wait right here, though. And then he's talking to the girls at the doorway. He's like, do you believe in magic? And she's like, what do you mean, like rabbit out of a hat? Yeah, fucking magic, that kind of shit. She's like, I guess. And he's like, well, I'm going to fucking perform a magic trick right now that you're never going to forget. Your boyfriend's dead, right? He died. We went to the funeral, right? He's dead. I'm bringing him back. And he pulls his twin brother over. And they didn't know he had a twin brother. And she just bursts into tears. Oh, my God. That's a cruel trick to play on somebody when they think their boyfriend's dead for 2 days. And then you bring their unbeknownst twin brother. I mean, it was the same actor, so they were totally twins, you know, Jason Sudeikis.
That's like opposite Weekend of Bernie's.
Exactly opposite.
Mm-hmm.
He's still alive, I swear. But yeah, if anybody doesn't know about that show, I think it's an HBO thing, but I've been watching it on this, I don't know what it is. It's on Dana's computer. She got this computer. It's got a bunch of movies in it and a bunch of series and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Series.
I watched something else, but I can't remember what. I'm still a little stuffy.
Uh-huh.
I forgot. Last year, same thing happened to me. I caught that cold, thought I was over it, and then all of a sudden, it'd get a little better, and then a little worse. Congestion in my chest, stuffy head.
You know what it is?
Allergies.
Yep.
I know. It's a winter allergies. I'm allergic to leaves.
You might be.
Leaves on the ground. Cat hair.
Pants on the ground.
Why you walk around with your pants on the ground?
You know, I saw Jimmy Kimmel did something cruel. Yeah, this is the third year in a row he's done this, but he has a YouTube challenge yearly on Halloween where parents film telling their kids that they ate all the candy.
Some kids cry so hard.
Some cry, some jumped around till their pants fell off, some said, one even just looked at the camera while crying and said, that's okay. Well, obviously insanely upset that she was crying, but just, that's okay.
Because they love their parents and trust that they do the right thing.
Yep.
That's rude. Rude. I don't really know, you know, like, I was listening to the Big and Loud podcast, Don Frost, his son's like one. He took his son trick-or-treating. A one-year-old can't fucking eat candy.
They
really?
Can't.
Well, they can.
Well, no.
But they...
You just save it for them until
they're
three.
They're giving fucking fun size. He said that he found a neighborhood that was giving away full-size candy bars.
Yeah. That would be fun, though, to take a one-year-old trick-or-treating and then just let him go to town on, like, a full-size Baby Ruth.
That's weird, because that's exactly what I almost said.
Well, that's a hard candy to eat.
Well, there's a lot of candy bars to choose from, and we both said Baby Ruth.
Mm-hmm. This is a good candy bar, though. I used to always like the Baby Ruths, but not so much anymore.
That's what almost got
occasional.
A Baby Ruth almost got me put in jail as a small child, remember?
Yeah, he's stealing one.
Yep.
Yeah.
I bought one, tried to get a BOGO off of it. Buy one, get one free. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're buying one, why do you want to be greedy and steal? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Just give me the one candy bar.
I would have just said, I had a coupon last week, but I lost it.
BOGO.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, that hasn't been invented yet. This is 1974.
I know. It took almost till 2010 before that became a thing, right?
I never heard.
BOGO.
YOLO. And I heard one that everybody said it, but I hate the "you only live once" YOLO, but now it stands for "you obviously lack originality."
Mm-hmm.
But that one's already been abused and used to where I already got shit for saying that. My teenage daughter. She's like, "Oh, that's pretty new." I was like, "Oh, I thought it was. Sorry." Because she's all YOLO.
You could have just said you're being facetious with it, because then it would have been
retro.
A meta back on itself.
I was being retro is what I was being. I was being a hipster. So when someone comes up and's all YOLO, you're like, "You obviously lack originality." They're like, "That's so overplayed, dude. That's fucking gross."
You know, another thing about candy, I also like Paydays. Those are good. But that's like...
That's a lot of peanuts.
It is. And salty.
Yeah.
Salty nuts.
Yum.
Malamar turns 100 this month.
Who?
Malamar, the candy.
Is that a candy bar?
Or it's a cookie.
Malamar?
Yeah, it's like a marshmallow thing on a graham cracker covered
Mallow.
In chocolate.
Marshmallow, Malamar.
Malamar.
That's fucking backwards.
You know, they're 100 years this year. They only sell during the winter months, so the chocolate doesn't melt. Only from September to May. Or maybe even only March. Yeah, September to March. But 95% of them are sold in the Northeast.
Malamarch.
And 70% are sold in... Metropolitan New York.
So you might see a Malamar bar show up in a Stephen King novel.
Yeah. They are like, littered in pop culture.
Like a
Simpsons
pie.
Have mentioned it. Just Sopranos. There was one where I think Tony Soprano threatened Polly.
With a Malamar bar?
No, threatened to kill him because he obviously stole his box of Malamars off a counter. He was only joking, but he was obviously upset that somebody had taken the Malamars because I guess people hoard those and have since back in the early days. They hoard them, stick them in the freezer, and like ration them out.
Oh, because they're only mm-hmm. around half the year. Or
yep, stories line the internet of people hiding them from loved ones, stashing them, freezing them.
So do you think we could make a little racket off of those?
Stealing them.
Dealing some Malamar bars on the black market?
No, probably somebody has... No.
There's no black...
We're not close enough to the source, I don't think.
You don't think there's a black Malamar market?
Yeah, but no. First, you'd have to ship them across the coast and then distribute them from over here. It'd be really tough, unless... You just sold to the Northwest, I guess.
Yeah, we could just reinvent the Malamars over here. Do they even have them here?
No, well, the air does something. It's like sourdough. I'm kidding.
You had me. You had me at sourdough.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know how sourdough is made, right?
No.
You have a starter, right? Like you start your yeast, right, which is an active germ, or not germ, but an active bacteria, right?
Yeah.
Your yeast.
Right.
And then you keep that going for a long time. Like, you just take out enough of the starter to start some bread, but then you keep that, and instead of, like, starting new, you just add a little bit more water or whatever to keep it that one active.
Huh.
And that's where sourdough comes from, because it absorbs the air from around. So you wouldn't want to eat sourdough from, like, Millersburg, where they have a paper mill.
Some yeah.
Kind of trace, you know. That's why San Francisco probably has their own. They're popular with the sourdough.
My grandparents right used to always have sourdough. She'd make sourdough bread.
There's legend of a starter that has been going since Napoleon. Like the same batch of original yeast going. They just add a little bit more stuff.
Wow.
Think of that kind of flavor.
I wonder if it'd be good or just... Not good. I didn't ever mind sourdough bread, but it wasn't my favorite.
Me either.
My grandma used to have sourdough bread and buttermilk. You fucking have buttermilk for drinking? People drink that shit?
People drink buttermilk, yeah.
Is it really buttery milk? What is it? It's just thick.
I think it is. Well, they're both dairy. They both come from the same thing.
It's yellowy, but I just wonder if it tastes buttery. That'd be weird. It'd be like drinking liquid butter.
Hmm.
Like if you could heat up butter and it goes to liquid and then some way you could make it not harden when it gets cold.
Yeah. I always thought it was like a slam. She's all tasty buttermilk.
Ah. Buttermilk is sour bread, though.
Yeah.
Buttermilk is sourdough.
Mm-hmm.
She got nice tits, buttermilk is sourdough.
Oh, the thicker buttermilk leaves a more visible residue on the glass.
Oh, is that all?
No, it originally, and this is now called traditional buttermilk, it was the liquid left behind after churning butter out of cream.
Ew.
Yeah, and now it's more just a range of fermented milk drinks.
That's gross!
Yeah, like, you know, some have a sour taste, I think, by more lactic acid bacteria, if you believe that.
Milk is,
there's a tartness. Have you ever had it, buttermilk?
I don't think I've ever been talked
about it. I haven't either, and I have never had buttermilk.
I've had buttermilk biscuits.
Here we go, yeah.
They were swass tasting, dude. They were good.
Yeah.
I don't mind a buttermilk biscuit. Because what, do they just use buttermilk instead of milk when they're making the dough? Or yeah.
Maybe. They must just use that. I have a loaf of buttermilk bread.
I got a loaf of buttermilk bread.
I don't know. It's not that great.
It's not that great.
There's better breads out there, you know.
There's better breads out there. And now...
Like a potato bread? You like a potato bread? It's made out of potatoes. They just slice it and then...
My stepmom used to make this weird-ass potato candy.
What?
She would take old, not super old, but like leftover mashed potatoes. Or sometimes she would just make a big old batch of mashed potatoes. And then she would add like some shit to them. Not shit, but like sugar, maybe some flour.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would roll it out like dough.
Mm-hmm.
Mashed potato dough. Mashed potato.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would like... make this really cool tasting like peanut butter based filler stuff.
Uh-huh.
And she would spread that on the dough and then she would roll it.
Like a pinwheel candy?
Yeah, and then slice it in pieces to where they were round pinwheel, mm-hmm. Like dough, peanut butter dough, peanut butter dough, like a cinnamon roll, you know?
Yeah.
Wound up. And she didn't tell me what it was at first because I wasn't home when she made it or whatever. She's like, here, try this candy that I made. And I was like, candy? What is mm-hmm. this? And she goes, it's good. Try it. And I tried it. It's a sweet. Tastes like candy and peanut butter. And then she's like, yeah, it's mashed potato candy. And I was like, it's what? And she's like, it's mashed potato candy. And I was like, it's what? And she's like, it's mashed potato candy. And I was like, it's what? We did that like 10 times, and she didn't finally tell me how she did it. And I might try to get that recipe from her to
see. I'll tell you what you do.
What do you do?
You take...
I'll tell you what you do, Pilgrim.
2 pounds of...
Ground.
Powdered sugar.
Oh, that's right. She used some sugar, powdered sugar.
And 1/2 cup hot mashed potatoes drained. And then 1 jar of crunchy peanut butter. You mix the sifted sugar into the potatoes a little at a time by hand. Don't panic when they liquefy.
Don't panic. Get the pan. Don't panic.
Just keep adding sugar until it's like a pastry consistency. And then sprinkle wax paper with powdered sugar. And then take a baseball-sized ball of the mixture and roll it out like pastry. Spread with peanut butter and roll like a jelly roll. And then chill it and slice.
I was pretty close to right, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Mashed potato candy. It's pretty fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah. And you can put food coloring in there, too, to...
to where it doesn't look like mashed potatoes, because
well,
it
yeah,
just
you can
does.
Make, like, red and green Christmas.
Oh, yeah. What do you have?
That seems like a lot. 2 pounds of sugar to 1/2 cup of mashed potatoes.
It's sweet shit, dude. That's what makes it taste so good. I guess the potatoes are just there to give it a little something to cling
it's just
to.
Just to hold it together.
Yeah. Give you something
I
to roll.
It had, it's based in an old Irish potato folklore, you know, where
Irish?
They didn't have anything but potatoes.
Oh.
Back in the potato famine.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard a joke recently of a guy that you, I got to watch the, remember that last comedy show? Or no, the one with Will Woodruff and Dan Kroll that you hosted at the Dixie?
Uh-huh.
Well, I finally got this old hard drive from a laptop that was broken that I could use as an external. So I got to put all my videos that I've been on my camera forever. So now I can use my camera and shit. Maybe we can start filming some shorts or some pants or whatever. And anyway, so I was watching some old videos and I watched that one. And this guy named Jeff Parks that you introduced, he did a joke about, he's like, I recently found out that the whole Irish language is based off the word potato. And nobody laughed and I didn't get it. And now you just said something about potato and Irish and because of the potato famine?
Well, I still don't get his joke.
Me neither. And he just goes, okay. No one laughed and then he moved on.
I think the potato famine was in Ireland when the soil was so bad that all they had to eat from the thing was potatoes, and so they a lot of them starved and didn't have other minerals to fight off diseases.
I've heard that if you just have a few other minerals, you can live off potatoes. We recently talked about that, but
yeah,
that always reminds me of that Tenacious D song where Jack Black sends KG over to Idaho to check on the potato famine that they're having, which there's no potato famine in Idaho.
No.
That was Ireland.
But, yeah. Yeah, apparently one-third of the population was solely reliant on potatoes.
Eh.
And a million people died and a million more left.
Wow.
And
it's one way to get rid of your.
Yeah. A potato crop failed and was still producing and exporting more than enough grain crops to feed the population. And they were exporting shiploads of food per day.
Shiploads?
Shiploads.
I thought you said chiploads.
Yep.
That's like little chips with quaaludes. We used to eat chiploads when I was a kid. Breakfast cereal.
Shiploads?
Yeah, as a breakfast cereal. Little chips.
Was it red?
No, they were white. Little chips of quaaludes, and you just pour it in a bowl, pour some beer in there. It's breakfast of crazy people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was religion said that they could only eat potatoes during that time, and so...
Once the potato famine happened, they couldn't eat.
Yeah.
That's fucking stupid. All right. We haven't done this for a while. Let's do this. Do you remember this thing? I can't hear shit.
Me neither.
Something's going on.
All right.
What the fuck's happening?
I'll tell you what's happening.
You guys having a good day today?
Happy birthday to Malamar.
Oh, that's the wrong song. Okay. Sorry. I'm all fucked up here.
On
drugs. I was going to talk about something that I don't normally talk about, but we've been doing this thing. And I'm having some fucking technical difficulties here, so bear with me. Oh, here we go. It's time for Jock Talk.
Oh, Jock Talk.
Hey, the Ducks lost last week.
They did.
Ha ha. That's what I say. I like the Ducks, and I like the Beavers, and I don't care about either one. But my friend Chris Castles, who lives in Austin, said, I don't know why when the Ducks lose, I get so happy inside, but ha ha. Go Ducks. And this has been Jock Talk with Terry Gatz. But we're not done yet. You got any jock talk?
Nope.
Beavers lost too. But at least the Ducks lost to a ranked team. That's how dumb sports people are. Sorry. Love you guys. Please.
I didn't watch. I just saw the score, and then I went on with my life.
Please still listen to the show. Yeah, I got home from our alternate taping of the podcast last week when the Ducks were playing, and Acacia, our daughter, was doing Dana's hair, and I said, hey, did the Ducks win? Because they were behind at the first quarter. And Acacia goes, wait, Terry, why are you talking about sports? I said, I'm just trying to be nice because I know your mom likes the Ducks. And so I'm trying to, you know, a little conversation. She's like, that was weird. She's like, you come in, the first thing you say, did the Ducks win? They were behind us. It's like, sorry, I'll never do that again. That was.
You got a reputation to uphold.
I do. And obviously it's already out there.
Mm-hmm.
That people know. What? Don't be wearing a sports jersey. I should show up with like a big old jersey with a number that says like Manning across the back or something.
Yeah.
I'd give it to my friend Farmer Tape Nose John Manning. There's a lot of Mannings in football. So
I know. He doesn't even have to get a custom jersey.
No.
There's a big, that one guy from the Dolphins, he was harassing another guy.
Yeah?
And he left the team and has emotional issues now or something or other.
Huh.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Apparently he stormed out. He threw his plate of food down. And so it brings up the discussion as, hey, is he okay? Is it, does the guy just need to man up, or do they need to not haze the guy that's on their team trying to win games with them?
I guess it's a matter of trust. Comes down to a matter of trust.
We should play that song next time.
We should just do it for every song from now on.
All right.
This is the Matter of Trust podcast. Being sued soon by Billy Joel.
Have you ever gotten a package that wasn't addressed to anyone?
No. In your own mailbox?
Yeah.
Nope. I have a package in my pants that's not addressed to anyone.
What would you do if you got a package that wasn't addressed to anyone?
I don't know. I might shake it.
Yeah. Would you open it?
I might listen to it with a stethoscope to make sure it wasn't ticking. Because it could have been a bomb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It could be a C4 explosive set to detonate within.
So something's 30. Real alarming in your head, right?
A little bit, yeah. I would all be right. Leery.
Would you consider keeping it just in case somebody wanted to pick it up?
I probably wouldn't get rid of it. But not. Right. I'd probably end up opening it, but I'd be leery.
You open
I
it and
carefully.
It's a bottle, looks like an energy drink,
but it's not marked.
Mm-mm. Nope, it's a bottle.
Okay.
And then...
is it a brown bottle?
Yeah,
or?
Let's say your grandpa, or let's say your dad at 55 wanted an energy drink for whatever reason.
At 55 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's 70.
So you give him this energy drink, right, because it looked like an energy drink and came in an undisclosed package at some point.
Right.
And so you gave it to him and his mouth is burning. Oh no, he just drank $50,000 worth of pure meth.
What?
Mm-hmm, that's what was in the package.
Was it liquid meth?
Yep.
And it was in a bottle?
Mm-hmm.
That's energy drink right there.
I know.
Fucking, did this happen? Did a guy die?
I'm pretty sure he died.
You'd think he would die.
Mm-hmm. This happened in Britain, though, but this story is so full
Britain.
Of holes, though. I mean, who feeds something to somebody that... they got in a package that was unrelated that they kept around just in case somebody happened to want it. And then at one point they go, oh, well, I'll stop doing that. Here, Dad, it's an energy drink. No, that doesn't make any
sense. There's got to be more to the story.
But then if that's not true, though, why would you feed somebody $50,000 worth of pure meth?
Did he drink it all?
Yeah, I would have. Yeah, I don't know. As long as it started to burn in his mouth, you know.
Yeah.
If you're drinking an energy drink, you're drinking a gulp. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, unless you were a bazillionaire to where $50,000 was worthy of a prank to where you just wanted to see what happened when somebody drank liquid meth.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe some drug dealer just sent a random bottle and figured it would hit the news when somebody drank it.
Yeah. Maybe. But do they got $50,000 to burn?
I heard the guy fixed 37 bikes halfway before he died.
Halfway?
Yep. He wanted to start on something else.
He had a lot of perfectly good broken stuff.
Yep.
Hey, that's a perfectly good broken stereo stand. We went through some of that when we were deciding what to keep and what not to keep.
Oh, yeah.
That's a perfectly good broken thing.
Mm-hmm. Broken things, you know. Maybe somebody will have a use for it someday.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not.
Like that bucket with a hole in it.
Dear Liza, there's a hole in the bucket. Oh, man. Hey, this is some news for you, as well as everybody who's listening, because I only told a couple people. I picked up what I consider my first official road gig, comedy style.
Oh, wow. Right on.
Medford paid with a room.
Nice.
That will be on a Wednesday, but that's okay. Wednesday, 13th, this coming 2 days away from today's podcast. I don't know where it is yet, but I'm hopeful that it'll be good. It's with Alex Elkin, who asked me to do it, which is kind of nice to get asked to do a show. And I've heard that Medford is a tough crowd.
Tough crowd.
So it's going to be tough crowd Wednesday instead of tough crowd Thursday. But whatever. I'm excited. I'll be featuring. I'll probably have to do 25 minutes. So
that's sweet, dude.
Hopefully I won't offend anybody, or maybe, you know, I've been watching a lot of things about comics and how they try to gauge the room or don't try to gauge the room, or how they try to please the audience or don't try to please the audience. And the majority of comics, in my experience, have said, get up there and tell the jokes for yourself. And if they don't think they're funny, then fuck them.
Yeah.
If they get offended, fuck them.
You know, this is where you might consider some Medford jokes.
I want to write some Medford jokes.
Ask them if they're at war with the Med Chevy people. You know, their Ford and Chevy people just never get along.
Or Med Dodge. Med Dodge.
Yep. And maybe that your friend had a Ford tattoo until his Ford broke down. He switched to Chevy, so he moved to Medford and just put a Med in the front of the tattoo.
That's not a very good Medford joke.
That's not.
We got to come up with something better than Methford. I know that they call it that down there.
What about Med? Like, hey, anybody got any meds? Ford?
For me? You got some meds for me? Some medicinal marijuana? I'm fucking kind of drunk. I was wondering if you got some meds for me. Medford me. Last time I went to Medford, well, I've been through the town plenty of times, but the last time I remember going to Medford...
You saw Robert Redford.
No, but that'd be weird.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went to a revival, a 5-day revival with my parents, and they prayed for my leg to grow out, and it didn't.
Ah, there's a story you could tell
there. That was one of those times. Oh, yeah. Last time I was in Medford, I tried to... Yeah, after I do my leg trick, I'll say I had a preacher pray for me for my leg to grow out.
He might be in the audience. Apparently, you should ask if he's in the audience.
Apparently,
remember
my faith...
Name?
His name was Dave Roberson, but he was a traveling magician, minister, whatever you want to call him, revivalist.
Yeah, you should... The church is probably still there.
Well, no, it was a revival at, like, a convention center at a hotel. It was a big-time thing, like one of those things you see on TV with, like, 1,000 people in the audience and a line of, like, 50 people getting prayed for. You got people in wheelchairs standing up. You got people sitting down, setting their legs up, saying, oh, one leg's a little bit longer than another. Pray for Jesus to pull it out and it's... Oh,
what was the guy's name?
Dave Roberson. He's probably dead by now. I was...
I'm going to look him up.
It was in the 80s, so I'm thinking I was probably, like... No, it was probably... It might have been late 70s. I remember, here's the songs that were on the radio at the time, if this helps, for a timeline. I'm All Right by Kenny Loggins and Driving My Life Away.
I'm All Right.
By Eddie Loggins. Eddie Rabbit and Kenny Loggins were on the top of the charts. At least they were getting played on.
Is that him?
I believe that is.
Well, you can go and check him out at DaveRoberson.org.
He's not a very good prayer, because obviously... He prayed for my leg to grow out, and it's been 30 years, and God still ain't answered that prayer. I guess it's my lack of faith that is causing the master Dave Roberson to not be able to perform his miracles correctly. Oh, my God. That's some funny shit.
I don't know if he's doing healings, though.
Yeah, not anymore, because his track record wasn't that good. He wasn't very fast at the 40-measure dash, whatever you call it. Oh, man. I can't believe that dude's still kicking.
I know, and that he was able to get DaveRoberson.org.
He's kicking the devil's ass, I guess, still. Maybe. Maybe not. Where is he? Does it say where he's based out of or anything like that?
What is the cause? Here's his frequently asked questions. What is the cost of the media files to download?
He's got a FAQ page?
Yep. How do I stream the audio files? He's got some audio files, some books.
I've got some old tapes that I just gave away and threw away, but I gave some to Farmer Tape Nose. I think he's got some Dave Roberson tapes. Maybe they'll be worth some money. I highly doubt it, but you never do know. That's funny, dude.
It says, how should I best prepare for a conference? And it says, if possible, try to spend some extra time in prayer before coming to allow God to prepare you to receive all he has for you during the conference.
That's funny, because I thought you were saying, please be prepared to spend some time with Jesus.
However, if this is not feasible, don't be condemned or pressured about what your schedule does not allow.
Huh. Well. Oh, well. All right. Thank you, Dave Roberson. And thanks for nothing, God, for not growing my leg out. Because now I have a thriving yet fledgling comic career where I use my leg as my main prop.
It says you should also do this, and this is just in practically for how you should best prepare for the conference. It says, if you do not have a mobile phone, you may want to purchase a phone card upon arrival.
Or a track phone.
Yep.
Those are popular in Baltimore.
Which is weird for a healer to, like, say what you... That you, you don't
I need
have
you to go buy...
Phone.
I need 60 more track phones by Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Disposable phones in Baltimore.
Tulsa. That's where he's in.
Okay. I accidentally jumped the gun on this, but we're going to go for... two friends' birthdays. No famous people that caught my eye today for celebrity birthdays, so it's pseudo-celebrity birthdays today. Big Jim Willig from the Big and Loud podcast. Happy birthday, Jim. And Natalie Barnhouse, daughter of Lodestone, and her son shares a birthday with my grandson. So happy birthday
happy
to
birthday.
Natalie Barnhouse. She used to be a White House. Her first husband was Wesley Whitehouse, and her second husband is Barnhouse, and my wife's name was Stackhouse.
Wow.
There's a lot of houses in the house.
Now, do you think a lot of people, because last names change over the years, right? Do you think those will eventually, anyone will change it to Hizzy?
Barnhizzle?
Mm-hmm.
Natalie Barnhizzle. Maybe by the time her son River grows up, he'll be River Barnhizzle. That'd be a fucking pretty sweet name. River Barnhizzle. I would like you to dance. Okay.
Now, so, here's yeah. something about
guys.
A little bit more about Dave. A lot of people would like to ask Dave specific questions.
Oh, we're on Roberson still. Okay, cool.
But because of the directives he receives from the Lord, he is not able to answer questions personally.
What the fuck ever.
We are also not staffed to personally answer all of the questions that come in. So we ask you to check out our fact section.
Check out my fact page.
Yep.
What the fact, Dave Roberson?
You know, he doesn't want to talk to anyone.
I know. I can't answer these questions personally because I'm way too busy conversing with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus told him not to talk to the people.
Well, fuck him and fuck Jesus.
Mm-hmm. If you have listened to Dave's teachings and have already read the book, start meditating on the prophecies. You will sense the anointing while listening to them.
Oh,
that's how you get the answers. You all you got to do is read the book and listen to the teachings, and his job's done.
You got
to
meditate. Don't forget that. That's the you got to put your hands like yeah. I have them right now and say, oh.
But that doesn't really bother him. That's not really that important because it hasn't anything to do with putting money in his pocket.
That's right. Be sure to tithe to the love offering box, which is what he called it. I thought that was kind of funny, a love offering. I'll give you a fucking love offering, Dave Roberson.
That's funny. Well, that's just a thing of the times, though, of the 70s, probably.
Yeah, I guess. You know, whatever. But another thing about Natalie Barnhouse, who has a birthday today, she uh-huh. was the inspiration. She was the child psychologist who had her former student come in and say that she saw her vagina in the mirror and it looked like a potato with a vest on it. So thanks for that little comedy gold bit.
You know, Egyptians, I think it was, they attribute a lot of physical ailments to the womb.
The
Did
Egyptians?
You know that? Yeah.
No.
Like if you had a headache, like a blinding headache, they would say you had a headache in the womb. And they would they would fumigate wombs whenever you had like
You mean womigate? Huh? They would Wombagate him.
Yeah, yep, they would Wombagate.
the uterus Wombagators. Yep, so they'd fumigate the womb with what?
Well, they were Egyptians, probably stuffed it full of flowers and all the
potpourri, that's right.
Yeah, and so,
we're going Egyptian on you. We're going to fucking fumigate your womb.
Yeah, and they would there's all sorts of things, just the headache or an eye ache, the eyes of your womb had an ache.
Fumigate the womb. That sounds like that's like bury the goat kind of.
They probably had like those little, like you see in cartoons, the old time spray pesticide things.
Yeah. Where you got to pump it.
Yep, and it has a little like tin can on the one end.
Yeah, speaking of fumigate the womb and bury the goat, I have a funny story from Friday night. Okay, Jeremy Rowe from Bury the Goat got fucking crazily drunk. That's odd. To where he was throwing up out in the back alley and then falling down in it.
Uh-huh.
He was setting in his own puke.
I'm down in it.
But before that, now I didn't get to witness it. I caught the tail end of it because I was on stage playing. So Jim Louder from Norska is standing there watching the band. And Jeremy Rowe's running around in a circle trying to get people to mosh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of shoulders Jim. Well, Jim doesn't really take no shit from nobody. And if anybody knows Jim, he's a big boy. He picked up Jeremy like this.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of, it looked like one of those fake things in the movies where a big guy throws a little guy and he like flies way farther than he should. Like maybe they cut the tape and had a fan blown back. So he like threw him.
You know, they could have like a cable behind him
that pulls him.
To him. Yeah.
Exactly. So he throws him and he flies a good 10 feet, lands on the ground, and Jim just turns around and continues to watch the band. Well, after Jeremy got himself together and got back up, he goes on a full-on run towards Jim and jumps on his back like a piggyback ride.
In good intention or bad intention?
It was all in good fun.
All right.
Good, friendly, violent fun after he got thrown across the room. Uh-huh. So Jim just reaches up over his shoulders and I guess grabs him by the shoulders or the neck of his clothes and just fucking body slammed him over his head, whoosh, onto the ground in front of him. Smack! Like hard, like a fucking professional wrestling body slam.
Wow.
And he kind of laid there for a second. I was like, oh, my hip. And then later they were laughing and they shook hands. And I was like, oh, good, friendly, violent fun. But it was just funny because I've heard a couple stories about Jim politely putting people in their place with a little bit of force and saying, don't fuck around because this is just a little taste of what might happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if he was drinking or whatever, and I didn't get to talk to him. He shook my hand right after the set and told me a good job, and then I think he might have left, or it was so full you couldn't see everybody, but it was before my stage dive, so that was the first thing that everyone was talking about. Did you see him body slam him over the top of his head? He's like, it was like wrestling. It was awesome. He fumigated the womb.
You should. You would also, if you had a toothache, they would fumigate your womb.
If the mother had a toothache?
Yep. No. If just somebody had a toothache, they would fumigate your womb.
If anybody in the fucking village?
I would imagine just women. It would be called a toothache of the womb, and more fumigation is needed. If your ears hurt so much that you can't make out the words you're hearing, they'd fumigate your womb.
What the fuck? Dude, that is retarded.
But really, the womb is nothing but trouble is what it's saying.
Stay out of there. And I've found out that the womb with a view is actually a.k.a. the uterus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A womb with a view?
Yeah. You isn't fumigate that right? The uterus.
Yeah.
Futurus. Fumigatorus. Fumigatorus. Oh, my God. I've never even heard of that. I can't even believe that that's a thing.
It makes sense, though, for Egypt. But they were ahead of their time, you know. A lot of people say that they might have been alien descendants.
Ooh. Well, what do you know? I wonder if Hans, is this news to you, Hans? Did you know about fumigating the womb? I bet when your kids are acting up, you wish you would have fumigated your wife's womb.
Wombigation, though. There's a band name.
Wombigation.
Wombigate. Now and we'll find out later. What's in Hans's CD player? It's always something cool.
Well, maybe not today. I don't know if I agree if it's always something cool, because I recently drug out an album by this artist and tried to play it on my record player, and I didn't even make it through the whole first side. Now he's listening to, it's funny because they were involved in the late 70s New York air quote punk air quote scenes.
Uh-huh.
With those bands like Talking Heads and Television. It's a female singer. She has made an appearance in a few movies. She's an actress now, and the band is actually back with a vengeance, apparently. Blondie. He's listening to The Best of Blondie.
I tried love and it was a guess.
Yeah. I heard stuck up my ass.
And it has, I'm sure with the greatest hits, it's got that song and it's got Call Me.
Call me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, call me.
Call us, Hans.
Call us anytime. Call me. Call me.
All right, Hans. You could have done better, I think, buddy.
All right, I've been listening to, well, who have you been listening to?
Trying to think real quick. Can't even, I didn't write it down. I was ill-prepared for today's show, but we've been doing a great job. I've been having a good time. Hope you guys are enjoying listening. But I have been listening to some stuff. Actually, we were playing some Double Mario Brothers, and Mike picked out some songs for us to listen to. We were listening to The Black Dahlia Murder.
Mm-hmm.
Miasma is the name of that album. And they're coming to the Wow Hall. I've been neglecting to talk about this because I keep forgetting. But I believe it's this Wednesday in 2 days. They'll be playing at the Wow Hall. They're a pretty, pretty big-time Metal Blade band. I mean, a lot of people think they're posers. A lot of people think that they're... A lot of black metal people, like the singer from Tormentium, says... He posted a thing that says, that moment when you realize the person you're talking to actually thinks that the Black Dahlia Murder is a legit band and that they're not the biggest flag-bearing posers on the face of the earth or something.
Why are they such posers?
I don't know, because they don't have corpse paint. I don't know.
They don't have corpse paint going on?
No, and they're not a black metal band. I think it's because they're popular.
I always thought they were just extreme metal, aren't they?
They're a lot like Carcass and Entombed. Death metal-ish, but apparently when you get to that level to where you can distinguish where just because of the fact that they're popular, that they're mm-hmm. flag-bearing posers, I bet if Tormentium was widely distributed, that maybe they would be considered flag-bearing posers. I don't even know. I just hate... if you don't like a band, you don't like the band, but... I don't know how you can sit there and say they're flag-bearing posers. They got a few good albums. I mean, a lot of their stuff sounds the same.
You can't say that just because people buy their stuff. I mean...
And I don't know if that's why he thinks that or not. Maybe I'm just not black metal and hardcore enough to know.
That's my guess.
Yeah, I'm not that hardcore. I like other bands, too, like fucking Queens of the Stone Age and Monster Magnet and Frank Zappa and the Beach Boys.
Yep, Frank Zappa, who appears as a ghost from time to time.
I heard someone was channeling him or
what? Yeah, that was me I was telling you about on that haunting of with Patrick Muldoon.
How do you channel?
He just showed up.
He was there?
Yeah, he just showed up. See, these places, they go, and this lady, the medium, spirits are drawn to her, and she can see him, and the spirits know that she can see him. And so they use her as, like, you know, to say, hey, tell him I'm here. I'm Frank. And she'd go, somebody's here telling me they're Frank. Oh my God! Oh my God! Bob.
They knew it was Frank Zappa.
Yeah, because he was married to
Gail.
No.
Oh, his first wife.
No, his sister or something married Ahmet.
Oh.
And so he had known, I guess, maybe Frank or that.
So Frank just stopped by to say hi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. It's fucking nice. Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, that is awful nice of him.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to remember who I was listening to. but I can't get my rememberer to work.
You mean your brain or your phone?
Single Harry, that's who I was listening to.
Who's Single Harry?
And Brick Villain.
Single Harry.
And Heathen of the Lieutenant.
Are those bands?
Yeah, they're random band-generated band names.
Oh.
Garment, Carment, Carnage.
Garment, Carment, Carnage?
Garment, Carnage.
Garment, Carnage. That's when you rip your jeans out, right? I'm wearing some ripped jeans. I'm suffering from garment, carnage.
And Leather Tongue and the Sumo Science. That's one name.
Those are terrible names for bands.
I didn't come up with them.
You've been listening to them. How do they sound? Are they all just like cookie cutter fucking piece of shit fish copy bands or what?
Unemployed Men. What kind of music would they play?
Probably bluegrass. Because they couldn't get hired.
What about Ecstasy Caper?
Is that like a fish treat that's laced with ecstasy? It's a caper sandwich. Isn't that some kind of fish? Capers? Because Larry David was pissed when his sandwich just had like capers and fucking whitefish on it or some weird shit.
Yeah, I don't know what capers are, really. They're like sardines in a way. But
I know
something.
It's also something that happens to Batman or somebody that he's into caper.
What
he
about
wears a cape too.
Vengeance Warhead?
That sounds like a metal band.
Yeah. Vulcan Death.
Vulcan Death. Vulcan Death. That sounds like pointy ear metal.
That would be cool.
Elven metal.
Mm-hmm. Our Fearless Elven, Arcade.
What about Elvin Presley? It's all little elves that are dressed
like
elves.
What about Elvin Parsley?
We're getting somewhere now.
Mm-hmm. And the last one, I'll go with Damned Edition.
All right. I think out of all of them, me being...
Now it's New Edition songs.
Yeah, by punk rock like The Damned.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically a punk rock band from England from the 70s playing Bobby Brown songs. Right? All right, well, shit, this has been a fun day. Fun day Monday.
Drunken Anarchy, that's a good one.
That's a punk band.
And Molecular Jerk.
Those guys are like Kraftwerk cover band. they do one Tom Dolby cover. I call him Tom Dolby. He was blinded by science.
Thomas
Bulby. Remember Bulby, the little mascot for Queens of the Stone Age when Era Vulgaris come out?
Oh yeah.
What the fuck is up with that? He was a little light bulb that told you what to do.
I don't know.
Go buy our record. I'm Bulby. They were probably stoned or something. They're like,
something had to be going on there. Bulby. Yeah, he was full of ideas.
I'm a light bulb. Ding. Hey, I got a good idea. What, Bulby? Let's go buy the new Queens of the Stone Age album. I've heard it's really good. I don't know. I heard Floyd McCulloch is moving his store.
Where?
Just across town or something. I don't know. Huh. In Salem. But he still felt the need to reorganize a full 8-inch display shelf. That must mean he's not that busy at work.
An 8-inch display shelf?
8-foot, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, man.
It took him 2 days to do it. You got a lot of paint in an 8-inch. It was 14 feet high.
Oh, okay.
It was all the way to the roof.
But 8 inches.
Wide.
Draws.
And deep. You could just fit one can of paint. It was just a stack of 8 cans. Then on the top, there was one of those little pans that you put the roller in.
Uh-huh.
If I was him, I'd just be repainting the inside of my store every day.
Yeah. Yeah. At least half of it.
Yeah.
Rock on.
Hey, we'll see you on Wednesday, and you can do some humping. Metal. Cyanide Vengeance. Oh, that wasn't it. Hey, Taggets, ready for some butt plugs? No, I knew you weren't. Okay, so these are plugs for shows that are coming up. Either or comedy or rock and roll, heavy metal, whatever. Entertainment, live entertainment. Go support it or else everybody will just stay home and watch their computer all day. Every second Friday of the month at Cornucopia in Eugene, it's pantsless comedy. I've never seen anyone perform with their pants off, but that's what they call it. It's a free showcase, and there's always some great comedy down there, hosted by Carmichael McGee. even though he doesn't go by that anymore, Mike McGowan. And then every Wednesday at Tiny Tavern, open mic comedy there, and every Thursday, the Green Room open comedy. And the last Saturday of every month is Bleepin' Funny at Sam Bond's Garage. I usually will be doing that most months if I'm available. And comedy is advertised at the Granary is also every last Saturday of the month, but that's later on in the evening, so you can usually catch two comedy shows in Eugene on the last Saturday of the month, every month. So that's something to keep in mind, because laughter is the best medicine, and it'll keep you healthy. Here's some music shows that are coming up. I've got a very discombobulated list of shows that I'm going to try to weed through here. What's happening? Monster Magnet's coming to the Hawthorne Theater on November 24th. Morbid Angel on the 26th. Same place with World of Lies and Seasons of Suffering. December 9th, same place, Hawthorne Theater. It's the place to be. High on Fire will be playing. Lord Dying and the Nether Regions will be playing on November 29th at the Analog Cafe up in Portland. It should be a great show as well. December 7th, Wehrmacht, Toe Tag, World of Lies, Spawn, and Roadkill Carnivore. Great death metal lineup there at Slab Town and PDX. January 17th, DRI, World of Lies, and a few other bands at the Hawthorne Theater. That's where all the good metal shows are these days, except for this one, Suicidal Tendencies, December 3rd at the Wonder Ballroom. Neurosis, November 23rd, Hawthorne Theater. Creator and Overkill is on Wednesday at the Hawthorne Theater. Let's see, I got a couple more. This one I've been waiting to tell you. It's December 6th. I guess I told you last week, but it's at the Denny's Lounge here in Albany, right off the freeway there. We're having the Grand Slam Comedy Show this month on the 6th. It's actually next month. It's the first installment. It'll be featuring Seth Milstein, Mac Chase, Mike McGowan. Who else? Oh, me. That's right. Terry Guile. I'm going to try to do a headlining set, 45 minutes of me talking into a microphone. Like, you don't get enough of that here on the podcast, right? And also, here's the big news for any Victims of Internal Decay's fans. If you don't know, we've been practicing. We have scheduled our first show in Portland, and it's February 7th. That's a Friday night. It's going to be with Spawn and World of Lies, Truculence, and Warcrank? Yeah, that's with a K. Warcrank. I don't know what that even means, but should be a good show. That's also at Slab Town in Portland. We'll have lots more details coming soon, but it's pinned in. Everybody is committed, so that's going to be cool. The last show I want to mention is January 31st, Zappa Plays Zappa. That's Dweezil Zappa and a ton of Zappa alumni. They get together and play songs like the one you're hearing in the background here. That's going to be at the Roseland Theater. Tickets are expensive, but that's because you're getting a great show. Stellar musicianship. So that's a bunch of shows. You should go check them out. Thanks for listening to the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. I guess that's all for now. Bye. Forgetting something? Oh, Rose Garden. Pearl Jam at the Rose Garden. No wonder I forgot.